This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Yes, eating disorder. Are you ready for the summer? It was just Bill Murray Day at the Toronto Film Festival, and we've got our own sort of meatballs-esque atmosphere here at Roberta's for Heritage Radio. This is season three, the premiere of Eating Disorder. Our chef, our fearless leader, Chef Paul Girard, is traveling the world in search of exotic recipes. But I'm joined, as always, by Reverend Spiro.
What's up?
Myself, Crazy Legs Conti, and we are pretty excited about season three. This theme is going to be what I did with my summer food vacation. So that Meatballs theme song was more than appropriate as we welcome an important sort of food history phenomenon that has exploded in the last couple of years. Very quickly, of course, I'm talking about Major League Eating, which is the only governing body of all professional stomach-centric sports. Emily does 80 events annually, including the Nathan's Famous 4th of July International Hot Dog Eating Contest, and they generate more than a billion consumer impressions worldwide each year. The Nathan's Famous contest alone has generated more than 300 million consumer impressions, and they've done TV, they've done movies, there's a video game you can play on your phone, Emily the Game, and in fact, that 4th of July contest, higher rating than any Major League Baseball telecast on July 4th in the United States. They've got an office in New York, so if you're looking for media events, development, sponsorship, contact George Shea, Rich Shea, or Dave Baer, or go to MajorLeagueEating.com. And we welcome to Eating Disorder two of the greats, two of the all-time greats. The first man, New York, and he made his MLE debut in 2008. He spent 5 years on the circuit without a championship title. Now, there's prize money, there's groupies, there's free food, but what you want is that hardware, that title, that trophy, that belt. And then on September 12th, 2013, he ate 31.75 cannolis at Little Lee's Feast of San Gennaro. Yep. Now, that contest has been going on for 12 years. It will resume, and I'm sure we'll talk about it tonight, this upcoming September 12th at 2 o'clock. But there's no prize money. There's nothing. There's a Pavarotti gift set box that's an empty box. There are no CDs in it. This man did not care. His heart was filled with light. His thoughts danced. His mind erased the years of trying it. He could only see warmth and calm and peace. And what did he do the next day after he won the Cannoli King Championship? He flew to Brunswick, Ohio, and he ate in the Maple Farms World Apple Pie Eating Championship for dessert. Yeah. Yasser Doggy Bag Salim. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next guest, he's known as the People's Champ, but I know him as the nicest man in competitive eating. He's been going for longer than anyone on the circuit. He's got seniority. He's branched out into hip-hop food pop. His Hungry and Focused albums, which I've lost track, they may be up to seven. Ingestion Engine, Hungry and Focused, Jim Mullen's Teeth. He is a man who will sign anything. He's got his own signature set of headphones. He waves the towel. His records need not be mentioned because kids have oversized trading cards of this next eater. But I'm going to mention him mostly because he beat me at all of them on this list. But 15 Burritoville burritos in 8 minutes, 2 pounds of chocolate candy bars in 6 minutes, 4 pounds of corned beef hash in a minute and 58 seconds in Marblehead, Mass. Many years ago. 49 glazed donuts in 8 minutes.
Oh.
Hamantaschen. If you know what that is, it's a traditional Perm cookie. 50 Perm cookies in 6 minutes, and he gave the three rabbis a 1 minute head start at that contest. Matzo balls, 21 baseball sized matzo balls. These are the floaters. Nope, they were the sinkers. 5 minutes and 25 seconds. Onions. That's right, onions. I repeat that, onions. 8.5 ounces of Maui onions. 3 whole onions in a minute.
Those
and peas. He's a veggie nut. He's on Instagram. He goes to the gym. He likes to finish up with some vegetables, 9.5 one-pound bowls of peas in 12 minutes. That was, believe it or not, at a health fair with Hungry Charles Hardy and myself.
Yes.
The big man, the bad man, Eric Badlands Booker.
What's good, everybody? What's good?
So we're going to get right into it. Let's talk about your most favorite moments of this past food summer. What did you do on your food summer vacation? Go ahead, Badlands. Talk to me.
Well, I did a couple of contests, you know, my endless food summer. One of the most memorable ones was when I went to L.A. to do the daily foods gyoza eating contest.
Gyoza, so the sort of pot sticker-like dumpling.
Right, right.
All right, got it.
And the thing about it was that it was really special to me because I think the contest has been going on for like about 4 years, if I'm not mistaken, 3 or 4 years, maybe five. But every time that I was set up to go, right, I couldn't get the time off to go. You know, my we were all like superheroes pretty much. You know, it's like weekend warrior type deals. You know, it's like we're all the Peter Parkers and you know, and
then with the time, getting bitten by a spider will help you eat more.
Oh,
gyoza.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
what I'm
to understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing. I never understood it about superheroes. It's OK. So when do you actually fight crime in between everything else? It's like, when do you actually competitively?
No,
there are no superheroes from West Nile or Lyme's disease currently, but we're hoping.
But we're more like, I would say like Batman. We have, you know, we don't have no superpowers. We just have, you know, we use our jets and engines to our fullest. And, and you know, this time, you know, I put on the Spider-Man costume, go to L.A. And if you can imagine me in a Spider-Man costume.
www.spandexforless.com.
6XL. You know, you can imagine me in Times Square. I'm scaring all the kids.
Oh.
No, I think that would be the complete Tobey Maguire and the Andrew Garfield series. All in one. It's the Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 double feature when Badlands is wearing the outfit.
There you go. But the past couple of years, I couldn't get time off for my job. You know, I'm a subway conductor by day for the New York City Transit Authority. And this time, you know, thank God I got the time off. So I hopped my JetBlue flight. You know, I had a mint seat going down. I flew down there. And it was very special contest. They let me like rap for a whole half hour, and you know, I did a whole set, and it was like, you know, I dreamed about eating pot stickers. You know, I wrote a pot sticker rap and everything, and then after that, after you know, I worked up an appetite. I did fairly well.
How many did you eat?
I ate 157.
157 in how long?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. So
yeah. You
go to a Japanese ramen place. You order an order of gyoza, you get six. And that's been, you know, and maybe you share them. So you ate 156 in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you did a concert beforehand.
Yeah.
That's pretty. Now, I don't see 50 Cent doing that. So I have a feeling you've got the perfect backstory for a superhero now. You're an MTA conductor by day,
mm-hmm.
and then you have super eating ability powers, and you just eat whatever.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
The villains, you know, try to prevent, but
oh yeah.
So L.A. was great. That's it was good.
Yeah,
the record was shattered. Joey Jaws Chestnut just narrowly edged out Matt Megatone Stoney with 384 to
384. Yeah,
to 370.
379.
It was a pot sticker burner. But now let's go on to the doggy bag. First off, are you sticking with the doggy bag nickname?
No, I think I've dropped the doggy bag.
Now, because you realize that in competitive eating, there are no leftovers, so there would be nothing to take home. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you have a new one picked out, or you're...
I think in the tradition of nicknames, I'm just going to leave it to somebody to come up with one for me.
All right. So hit us up at Fork Your Radio. Fork You Radio. Thank you. You know, the Reverend's good with profanity. I'm not so good with the expletives.
Yeah.
And let us know what you think... Yasser's competitive eating nickname is after the show.
Yeah.
But all right, so talk to us your food summer.
Sure. So I my favorite contest is actually coming up this week, one which I won last year and one which Badlands won the year before. And I had waited a whole year after Badlands had won it to try to best that number, and you know, and I admire Badlands very much.
And,
so it was
in that contest, we should say that it could have gone to overtime. Talking about 2 years ago when Badlands narrowly edged you out, there was some some mascarpone flotsam that was on the table that was really the difference.
Yeah.
And George Shea, because he just really wanted to get back uptown and get back to work, he just couldn't see an overtime because there had been a previous overtime.
Oh, I'm here on cannolis.
Alan the Shredder Goldstein, myself, the Thriller with Vanilla, triple overtime. Badlands also won that year. You went right to a sausage and pepper stand in victory.
Oh, yes, yes.
He ate like 18. I think Shredder and I each ate 21. But you shattered the record last year. How?
Yeah.
Who was the cannoli maker? And why?
Well, I got really close to the world record, which was 32, set by Pat Bertoletti, I believe, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I was a little disappointed there, but in terms of the overall numbers, everybody kind of went up last year as a kind of higher average, and that's because we all kind of used like a newer technique, which I think all of us are gonna probably use it again this year.
Reveal to our studio audience.
I mean, the secret's out, so I have no problem telling everybody. But basically, a cannoli has a hard shell, and it's very creamy on the inside. And the challenge a lot of times that eaters have with it is to get through that hard shell. Now, there's no dunking allowed in this contest, which, you know, putting the food into it.
Yes, you used to be able to bring coffee and let the cannoli sit in the coffee like a dunk tank, or even just do a quick dunk and then sort of front load it like Ed Cookie Jarvis used to do.
But that's basically, I mean, you're getting rid of quite a bit of the food inside of the coffee, so it doesn't really make too much sense. So what you're left with is some way to kind of break through the hard shell, and this is something that Pat Bertoletti kind of pioneered. If you look at the old contest video, you'll notice that he crushes the cannoli in his hand in order to kind of basically pre-chew it.
Pre-masticating, manual to oral dexterity is allowed. It was not allowed in the Smirnoff Twisted Grape Eating Championship.
Wow, that was a flash of the past.
I trained by pre-masticating. So you found, were you crushing them in both hands? Like,
just one at
four,
a time.
Or, I don't know.
I believe they're 3 or 4 ounces each, so they're pretty big.
Yeah, yes. 3 ounces.
These are a standard 5-inch cannoli.
Good size,
Men are like, I don't understand how big that is, but the women seem to know exactly. And it's a 6-minute contest. How did you feel? Did you get a sugar rush? Did you get,
every year I do it. I've been doing this for 3 years now. This will be my fourth. Every year I do it, it's the same exact feeling. It's just a huge sugar rush. We generally do it with coffee. I'll do caffeine free, but still.
I mean, I gotta ask the one thing about eating crusty, crunchy stuff.
Yeah.
Anytime I eat anything like a bruschetta or whatever, the top of my mouth, the inside skin just peels off.
Right.
It's really, really like not pleasant.
Right.
So, I mean, is that something that you have to go through? Like,
You definitely have to, expect embrace the dangers of competitive eating. You know what I'm saying? Because, sometimes the shells may be harder. But if the shells are softer, of course, they're faster. The numbers will be higher. And it's like you have things you worry about, like losing teeth and catching the throat.
Tim Eater ex Janice actually retired from the cannoli eating contest because his dentist in Connecticut was giving him buybacks. He was giving him every third time he went. And it's a rough contest. Short of pork rinds.
Yeah.
It's
probably the toughest. How long would it take for you guys to recover in your mouth, your gums, your cheeks? What do you
I remember the last time the first time I did a cannoli contest, and it was like my throat was all raw. It took me a whole weekend. The biggest mistake was, that morning drinking some orange juice. It was just burning all the way down.
I seem to recall a week being the time. One year I had a vial of brown liquid that I said I had gotten from Barry Bonds, and Hungry Charles Hardy cleared it. It was Ambisol, which, of course, is a numbing agent. I don't recommend that because it caused my gums to peel. I had the pizza roof of the barrel. It was terrible.
Chloroceptic is your best friend.
We're going to, when we come back from our break, we're going to hear what the Reverend did during his food summer. So he's got to think about that. We've got two pizzas from Roberta's delivered. They'll be gone by the end of the break. And then I'll talk about my summer highlights when eating disorder comes back.
And we will talk to you in a second. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Midnight Man by Earl Rodney.
Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hey, what's up? This is John Norris, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
Science! Ow! Of competitive eating! Hoo-ah!
Julian is on the boards, Badlands on the vocal cords. We gonna rule this world, thought you should know. And check it out, yo, it's a go.
I'll be that top regurgitator extraordinaire. One of East to the beat in the flash of flair. Eat you out of house or home, no thought or care. Fridge empty, cup is bare. The one that rips snacks out of school backpacks.
It's looking over the shoulders, man.
Like Michael Jackson, I'll be there eating like Pac-Man. Digging in your candy dish, yo, it's a rap, son. Yo, who be that?
Badlands, baby.
No if fans or maybes devour like crazy. Yo, I'm like the dog in the Looney Tune, baby. I guess the steak be like,
what, no gravy?
Yeah, superhero with a fork and spoon. Train like X-Men in the danger room. Like a pirate, lower Epicurean boons. Quicker than soon, pre-masticating Dune. On all trash talking, son of a guns. They don't know I'm buffet enemy number one. Perishables take foot and keep running from. Better ask someone, who's that? Like Harry Crumb.
That is Badlands Booker, Hungry and Focused.
Yes.
The first album, The Sweet Science of Competitive Eating. Badlands, how many albums have we come to since that first one?
I think right now I'm working on my my 10th album, which is it's going to be pretty much a hip hop, you know, competitive eating style.
Nice.
We got together on an idea, brainstormed at the Chicken Speedy contest.
That's true. Yes.
And
that's where I do all my best thinking while harness racing is going by after I've eaten giant chicken sandwiches. I'm like, listen, Badlands, this is what you need to do with your music.
Yeah, you know, I was receptive, and the next album pretty much is going to be, you know, what we go through from the time that we registered for the contest and board the plane, landing, preparing for the, you know, that night, getting up in the morning, going to the event, seeing the people, doing the eating, and, you know, having a little fun afterwards and going back home.
Oh, beautiful. I want to already request that I want to play a heel, a villain.
Okay.
I was on tour with the Kelly Bell Band. Kelly Bell, a former professional wrestler for 13 years, taught me all about being a heel. So if the hip opera happens, I'll audition, Badlands. I was in, you know, you recall my work on your song, Buffet Busters with Hungry Charles Hardy.
Oh, yeah.
Eater
Classic.
X.
Yes.
But, yeah. And generally your albums drop Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Oh,
you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
You
know, right? The food holiday. You know, it's either Thanksgiving or if it's like a Nathan's mixtape, like Surfing Stillwell 1 and 2. It drops on July 4th.
But Badlands, when you bring the freshly minted copy of that over on cassette to Coleman's Bar and Grill, I've got a Heritage turkey coming, you know, one of the nice ones, 10 to 12 pounder.
There you go.
You can just dig
That's
in.
It?
Well, I mean, you and I each had our own 10 to 12 pounder on the Crowd Goes Wild last Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, that was a beautiful time.
And then the Thanksgiving before, we handed out turkeys to the Food Bank of New York for the Wild Turkey eating contest. Speaking of wild turkey, let's check in with the Reverend. Did you have any food or did you just subsist?
This summer I moved to Jackson Heights.
Well, that food central in itself.
It's amazing. I'm not going to get into everything I ate, but the two places I have to highlight are
absolutely
Jackson Diner It's something else. I mean, Jackson Diners is the most amazing Indian food. It's just I love Little Sixth Street. You know, little India on Sixth Street in Manhattan. They have great food, but this is something else. It's more food, spicier yet not. Here's the thing: I love spicy food, but I hate it when it numbs up my tongue where I can't actually feel the food, and it's right there. And my other favorite place in Jackson Heights is the Arepa Lady on 77th Street. Yes, she.
No, is. Evans is nodding vigorously. Otherwise, he's emulating chewing and swallowing.
chew, swallow is gone. But if I can recommend a place, there is a great like food truck where they have like it's like a halal truck. They have the chicken and the chicken and lamb over rice. Uh-huh. There's this, I think it's called Sammy's. It's the truck that's right next to the Astoria Bank.
Okay,
right when you come out of the EFG and the R trains, you know. Overlooking the 7 train. They won the Vendy Award.
Really,
I'm telling you, it's the best food truck.
And I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, see, it's the only truck in that area that you get the you know, I like it, you know, the lamb over chicken, with, you know, with the basmati rice, and then you know you can have the white sauce with the yogurt sauce. You can have the hot sauce, barbecue sauce, and you can also have the green sauce, which is like cilantro based green sauce.
The green sauce is actually Soylent Green. It's made from people.
Yes, well, no, yes,
that's food
thing,
truck.
I actually have a box of Soylent Green.
The thing about
house.
Jackson Heights is that honestly, I've had Tibetan food, Thai food, Vietnamese food. I've lived there for 2 months now. Right, and it's like I'm gonna die eating. I'm a big eater already. Uh-huh. You know, that's my job on this show. I eat other than you.
I mean you are one of the finest casual diners I know. And the fact is, you moved to a neighborhood. A lot of people learn the neighborhood by walking the streets, doing this. I have a feeling when people ask you for directions, you're going to be like, okay, take a left at the Tibetan place, stop at the donut place, take a right next to the food truck.
Tibetan is a new one for me.
Okay,
and honestly, the place on it's on Roosevelt and I believe on 73rd. I remember the name of it, but it's the Tibetan food has these great big kind of muffin-y things. I forget what they're called. It's sort of like a
popover-esque.
Yeah,
type of
thing? it's this really soft bready kind of thing that you just there's no forks or knives.
You sure you didn't eat the napkin?
No. I mean, that was earlier in my career,
right?
But I mean, but you just basically grab this bready kind of stuff and just soak in and eat your goat stew or eat your your nut lentils or whatever. It's really good.
And I'd imagine it because it is a fairly forced to be an inclusive culture. They probably aren't. There's no fusion Tibetan food.
So. I didn't see that. It was completely unique.
It was unique. That's great. Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a great way to eat your way through a new neighborhood when you've moved.
Yeah, that in Coney Island.
That in Coney Island. I had an interesting experience recently. We had talked on the show in season two about my trip with Navy Entertainment to Japan and entertaining the troops, and that was phenomenal. So that was really altruism and philanthropy. I went the other way a couple weeks ago. Hedonism, I think, would be the word to use. I went to Reno. There's the John Akuska, I'm going to say his name wrong, Nugget Ribboff Contest. So over 60,000 people attend this barbecue festival. It's in Sparks, Nevada. They say that if Reno is hell, it's so close you can see Sparks. And that might have to do something with the fact that its denizens feel like, you know, they say Vegas, whatever happens in Vegas, Vegas is crazy. But Vegas is just a lot of neon and flash. You go to Reno, you go to Sparks, and it's pretty much the wild, wild west. So this barbecue festival had tons of people, tons of bands, and had the 9th annual Ribbit Nugoff, which Joey Joss Chestnut has won. He won 8 previous. He didn't show up 1 year, including eating the world record 13.35 pounds of pork ribs. Wow. And these are sliced. Sometimes you get a full slab and you peel them off as you go. I'd been to a lot of the contests in my 13-year MLE career. I had not been to this one. And it was amazing. The crowd was huge. MC Sam Barkley was literally drenched in sweat. He sweated through his tie. He sweated through his Italian boater.
So, I mean, how do you judge a rib? I mean, look, honestly, I'm one of those people that eats the you know, the part of, like, you've eaten all the meat, and you know that like membrane?
Yeah,
I'm still sucking on that.
There's no bone marrow in pork ribs, but somehow the Reverend has found a way to extract them. We call that, it is a debris food. So we weigh them before, we weigh them after. In this case, we started with trays of 4 pounds. And then you would eat, and as soon as you finished your tray, and again, you bring up an interesting point, much like chicken wings, mm-hmm. you know, our guests were both at the Buffalo Wing Festival up in Buffalo. Yep. So wings, ribs, you've got to balance the cleanliness with the speed. There are eaters like Micah Wing Kong Collins, who is so clean, his chicken wing or rib bones look like petrified dinosaur chips.
Fossils.
He'll finish, you know, in the lower top because he's not got the speed. Whereas you look at someone like Sonia the Black Widow Thomas, who is, her hands are a blur. I mean, it's, you know, it looks like a Japanese pornographic crotch. You can't even see what's going on. It's just like,
so she's pixelated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She eats so fast. So, Yasser, what is your rib or wing technique? How do you balance the two forces of nature?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting point. You have to really kind of balance speed versus cleanliness. So I basically, at the beginning of a contest, I split up the two different kinds of wings. You got the drums and you got the flats. Mm-hmm. I started off loving the drums, which kind of look like a drumstick, and then there's the flats that have the two bones in it. I started off loving the drums a little bit more because the technique on that, I just kind of spin it around, the Badlands mm-hmm. technique.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then, but I started liking the flats a little bit more. You can kind of grab it down the center, pop it open, mm-hmm. and then rip. The bones are a lot more easy to manipulate, mm-hmm. so I just kind of split them in half and then suck them both separately.
I'm going to put the Reverend on the spot here. Drumsticks or flats? Which has more meat in the meat-to-bone ratio?
You know, it's not. I don't think it's about who has more meat. You know,
that would be a segue from the James Dean porn show. You waited until Paul and I were out of town before you did the food porn show.
All right, back to your point. Yep. I mean, it's. I think the thing is about the flats, you can stick your finger through the two bones, and you get a nice big piece of meat.
Bullet hole it, yeah.
Now, the drumstick type, mm-hmm. that's great, but honestly, you just don't get as much tender meat from those as you do from the flats.
The Reverend is a food genius. He is correct. That's presented to Drew Sears up in Buffalo a few years ago the Magna Carta of Meat, which was a scientific study I did at the back of a tiki bar, which was that the drumstick has 0.49 meat-to-bone ratio. The paddle, or flat, has 0.66.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's more tender, and I feel it's more, you know,
faster.
Yeah.
In rib eating contests, though, you've got to decide, you know, if you're going to go with the top half, the meatier half, if you're going to try to flip it around. I finished dead last. There was an overweight comedian who was just eating casually, and he beat me. So I'm not going to – I don't know where my mind was. I did smoke a cigar and drink a beer immediately after the contest.
Tip your waitress, I'm here all week.
Yes. Maybe I do know where my mind was because I lost it the next day as I went with the belly full of ribs into the desert. I wandered in the desert ill-prepared. They tell you survival techniques. You need to bring water. You need to bring a tent. You need to bring this. I had 3.5 liters of a plastic – early times whiskey, 3 cigars, and 15 In-N-Out burgers.
Yes.
And that's what I took to Burning Man.
No water?
No water. Oh, no, wait. I had a 12-pack of Ham's beer.
which is pretty much
water, let's be honest. Right above Olympia, which says it's the water, comes Ham. So they tell you, like, you need to prepare for this event. And I had friends who've gone, and I did no research. You know, I looked up sex at Burning Man, and they said there's an orgy dome. So I took my whiskey, my cigars, my beer, my belly full of ribs, and I thought, I'm going to Black Rock City, to the Playa, as the burners call it.
I have this idea of you, like, dragging this tauntaun, you know. Yes,
you're not too far off, to be completely honest. If the tauntaun had an In-N-Out burger stamp on it, you would have been, you've just pictured me exactly, like, you know, 2 Wednesdays ago. It was, there's this desert, this event, that maybe people have heard of, that the third largest metropolitan city, for 1 week only, is created in the desert, outside Reno, 3 hours away, at Black Rock City. They say, leave no trace. You carry in everything. You take out everything. They burn giant sculptures. They burn the Embrace sculpture on on Friday morning. Two guys made out of wood looking at each other. They burn the man, the giant man, on Saturday night, and they burn the temple on Sunday. And even those, they keep a tarp, a fire-resistant tarp underneath so as to not scar the dusty playa. They say maybe microscopic shrimp grow there, but basically it's just the most inhospitable universe you could ever imagine for humans to survive in for a week. That being said, when I stepped out onto the playa, I had to take a cab, but that's a separate story. You don't see too many cabs at Burning Man. So I was pretty much a sight. It was a Muslim cabbie, and he loved the fact that all of a sudden, every time he was like, we only can drive 5 miles an hour, and it's taking too long. And then this beautiful topless girl would ride by on a bike, and he'd be like, ah, it's no problem, guys. We keep going. But I felt something. When I stepped down to the playa, I looked out into the desert. A light sandstorm was up. It was like the Bedouins. There were these art cars, these beautifully constructed machines that some are dangerous and shoot fire, but others are like fish scales. There's people dressed like Mad Max or steampunk, or they're just completely naked. The first person who greeted me looked like, his name was Phil. He looked like Joaquin Phoenix and I'm Not There, like big shaggy beard, unruly hair, stands up from his lawn chair. He's completely naked. Hey, man, let me get a hug. Oh, absolutely. No. I'm like, oh. I'm like, you know, it's just, if you want to, you know, minute one, you want to have a new experience hugging a naked man at Burning Man, you feel welcomed. And yeah. I did feel like it was a community. There's no commodity. There's no commercialism. There's no advertising. Mm-hmm. They sell coffee and ice, and that's it. Everything else is on a barter system or is free. Every single person I met was welcoming and wonderful. So you can imagine, there's probably a lot of vegetarians or vegans there, they're not too happy to see a guy smeared in mustache wax and barbecue sauce staggering in.
With the burgers.
But that's what the burgers are for. I did have some vegetarian, they told me there were vegetarian option burgers, but they just take the burger out. It's just like lettuce and tomato. So, but the special sauce, people liked it. So I was there from Thursday morning to Sunday. There's no showering. You're covered in dust. There's smoke storms. There's amazing outsider art. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you this actually happened. I'm wandering very far out in the playa. I'm checking out some of the sculptures. There was one of a little boy and a little girl in stone with two helium balloons that were twisted together and a bench in front of it. And I felt like that was my Burning Man experience in art, because I had started the week, I had friends in the sex camp and friends in the drugs camp, but by day one, I only had friends in the drugs camp. So I needed to sit and reflect on my experiences. And coming back in the sandstorm, I'm like, that looks like a hot dog stand. And it was a guy, Parker's Hot Dog Stands. He owns a restaurant way out in Nevada, a barbecue place. And he says he just comes to Burning Man. He serves up hot dogs, and there's jalapeno toppings and mustard. Everything's free. I'm contractually obligated to say they were Nathan's all-beef hot dogs that he served me. But it was just great because I had subsisted on whiskey and beer and cigars, so that hot dog was definitely a highlight. So I recommend Burning Man to everybody, and check out the great art and whatnot.
You recommended subsisting on whiskey and...
I am still alive. I staggered into desert ill-prepared, and I staggered out. It wasn't like that scene from the James Bond movie. I didn't drink any cans of oil. Blanche DuBois relied on the kindness of strangers, and Burning Man is a little bit like that, too. I really had a wonderful time and a great sort of food vacation. So any last thoughts? Certainly I want to hear Badlands. Where can people find your music? I want to hear about Yasser's Twitter feed. What do you guys want to tell the audience before we finish up?
Well, basically, if you want anything, if you want to know everything about Badlands Booker, just go to my website, badlandsbooker.com. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. Everything is Badlands Booker. If you want to get the shirts, if you want to get music, there's free music there. There's music for pay. And, if you want to hear what I hear with your ears, get you some Badlands Booker headphones by Auric Audio.
I've got my pair autographed. And Yasser, where can people find you? Your day job is at the week.
Right.
But during the weekends, you do triathlons and Ironmans. And you have a social media, a Friendster account. Where do you want to have people hit you?
Yeah. I'm on Twitter. All right. I'm on Instagram.
What's your handle? What's your handle on Twitter?
It's Yasser Salem. It's my name, Yasir, last name Salem, Salem. Come see Badlands and I compete this Friday at the cannoli eating contest at 2 p.m. in Little Italy.
Yep, Baxter and Grand, I believe. Speaking of cannolis, I've got a little box here from Venero's. Whoa. De Roberta's was closed. Right. So there we are. The stand. That's what we're looking at. So the
little training. Little
oh,
training.
We got sprinkles.
This is a box of four. Can you imagine? Yeah, last year Yasser ate. I can't even do the math. Is it seven? Almost eight times.
Yeah.
This box in 6 minutes.
I think that's going in like what 20 seconds.
Yeah, Yasser,
pre-masticating.
Yeah. There you go.
It's like one of those, car movies. Gone in 20 seconds.
There you go.
I like it. On that note, for Eating Disorders season 3 premiere, come back and see us soon because Chef Paul will be back in the house, and it's going to be a great season. A lot of special guests, a lot of exotic food. The Reverend and I will be back, and we really appreciate our guests tonight and Major League Eating, and we'll see everyone at the cannoli contest. Get in the spray zone, people.
Woo-hoo. No doubt.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.